Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother, we're going to sing That Sounds Like Home to Me. If you want to be finding that. Brother Junior Davis offers this testimony and prayer request tonight. Says, I got a good report from the CT scan that I had last week. The doctor said it was a significant improvement from the last CT that I had in August. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. He says, I was looking for a better report, but my God knows what's best for me. They have stopped all treatments until they do an MRI of my spine to make sure there are no more tumors there. There are no tumors there that could be causing the nerve shocks that I'm having. I'm still believing with all of my heart that I am completely healed and all these symptoms are lying vanities. Thank you so much for your wonderful support and prayers. Somebody say hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Daniel Barclay sends this in for a Johnny. What's that last name? Jamie Brannon. Jamie Brannon. Your writing's about like mine, Brother Barclay. Just gave herself back to the Lord, rededicated her life, and they're asking that we would just pray that God would just keep her. God's able to do that, isn't he? Yes. Amen. Yes. Want to have prayer tonight for a three-year-old boy who's in the Children's Hospital in Johnson City. He has a rare disease. His name is James Barton, so we certainly want to remember that child. As we pray, we want to pray for Brother Jerry Phillips. He's having some back problems, unable to be in the service tonight, so we certainly want to remember him. As we pray, we want to remember Sister Shirley Robbins in prayer tonight, stomach virus. Let's pray for Sister Shirley. The Lord would touch her. Brother Keith Phillips, an unspoken prayer request. The Lord certainly knows all about. I want to pray for Sister King, who had to go back home because she got sick here, I guess, at the service over in the fellowship hall. They had to take her back home. So let's pray for Brother and Sister King tonight. Brother Barclay sends this in also. Our brother Mike Kincaid, he's leaving, going back south. Just remember him in prayer that the Lord would be with him. And also we'll remember Brother Samuel Shuffer in prayer tonight. The Lord would just help him and be with him. And during a sickness, the Lord is able to do that. And I guess tomorrow morning, after tomorrow morning, Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy is going to be leaving us for a few months, going back to Florida. So we're certainly going to miss them. We love those folks, don't we? We certainly do. We love those folks. But they're going back to Florida. They'll be streaming the services. They won't be here with us, but they'll be part of the services. So let's just pray that while they're there, they'll get real homesick and come back before they thought they would. Amen. This announcement, if you've got items out there in the lobby that you did not get on Wednesday night, please get them tonight or in the morning as that will be cleaned up, I guess, on Monday. And those items that are left, will be done with those. So if you have those and want to keep them, you need to get them tonight or in the morning. You have an unspoken prayer request to anybody in the room? How many of you know God's able to meet your need tonight? Could we stand at this time? Brother West, why don't you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite his presence. Commit these things unto the Lord. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Father, these requests that lay here before me, Lord, are very serious, some of them. And Lord, there's people who've rededicated their lives. And Lord, there's people who are sick. There's people who are fighting sickness. Lord, Satan hit Sister King. And Lord, we just want to come together as a body and agree and stand together against this and raise up, help be part of the standard that you raise up, Lord. Father, we speak against these things, against these sicknesses, against, you know, the devil's onslaught against us, Lord. We stand in faith, the very faith that you've given us, Lord. And this body comes together. When one cell from this body is hurting or aching, Lord, it affects the entire body. Lord, there's many requests here, but Lord, we know that you're taking care of each one of them. We know that we can trust you. We know that all we have to do is lay them at your feet. And Lord, we also know that the most important reason that we're here tonight is to worship you. and to praise your holy name and to come and to receive revelation of who you are and more revelation of who we are, Lord, so that we can grow closer and closer, Lord, until you're coming. Father, we know that the man of God is going to come out here tonight and speak your word. Lord, help us to be prepared to receive it. Give us a heart, Lord, that can be open and receive every word that you have for us. Help us, Lord, to pull on this man of God so that you can speak clearly to our hearts, so that we can receive the revelation that'll take us out of here, Lord. Lord, this world is growing darker and darker. It's not fit for a dog to live in anymore, Lord, in most places. And Lord, it's creeping into the shores of the United States. It's getting worse and worse. The sin of this nation, Lord, is being judged. And Lord, we know that your coming is soon, and we're looking for that, Lord. We're calling out to you as your body, and we're saying, come quickly, Lord. We want what we need. Whatever it takes, Lord, help us to worship you and praise you as you deserve, and give us the revelation that we need, Lord, to grow to the point. And bring that last one in, Lord. There's a brother, Lord, that's running from you tonight. He's running down south to get away from you tonight, Lord. And I'm asking you to get a hold of his heart, Lord. He's running from you. And I'm asking you to get a hold of him and bring him in. I know there's just a few left, Lord. Please have mercy on him. Please come quickly, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Please bless the service, Father. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting here with us in this service tonight, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming tonight, may God bless those folks as well from around the world as they stream this service. Isn't it good to be in church on Saturday night? Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. And that sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. And that sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory. Oh, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Somewhere just across the Jordan River.
Oh, yes, there is. There's a place.
There's a place of everlasting joy and peace. The tree of life is blooming.
Hallelujah.
There forever.
Oh, sing it to him, church.
And a crown of life is waiting there for me. And that sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. Sounds like home to me.
They say there's mansions there inside.
Hallelujah.
The city.
Amen.
A crystal river flowing by. A tree of life. Oh, no pain, no disappointment.
Oh, looky, looky,
every
again.
They say there's mansions there inside the city. A crystal river flowing by.
Thank you, Lord.
A tree of life. Oh, no pain, no disappointments ever come there. And Jesus Christ Himself will be the light.
And that sounds like
songs we're going to be learning. The congregation here in the next few services, we've got them almost ready, and I believe you'll like them. I hope you will. So let's sing another old one tonight, and we're going to do, maybe Lord willing, next weekend we'll work on maybe a couple of brand new songs for you. We'll learn it together, and that's the way we do things around here. We're going to learn it together. Okay, let's do that. Let's sing a little bit. I believe He's coming back, like He said.
And I believe He's coming back like He said. I believe the trumpet's gonna sound so loud. He'll resurrect the dead in the twinkling of an eye. He's gonna split the eastern sky.
She starts.
time is nearing that we'll soon see His appearing.
Oh,
this could be the hour. I wish this would be the day.
Are you looking forward to it? The catching away. The hope of the church is the coming of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm not going to let you sit down. Brother Donnie's going to come or somebody's going to come. We want to pray for our pastor tonight. I'm sure he'll give you a little update as to his visit to the doctor yesterday. But I'm telling you what, I appreciate what God has given us right here. I can't speak for nowhere else, but I appreciate what God has given us right here. We are a blessed group of people. You just don't realize how blessed you are. You just don't realize how blessed all of us are to be part of this assembly, be under this ministry, and fellowship with God's people like we can. We are one blessed group of people. Don't never take that for granted. God has blessed us tremendously. So we want to pray for our pastor tonight. The Lord will just be with him, give him strength in his body as he's getting ready to come at this time. But let's sing just a little bit more of that song tonight. I believe he's coming back. I don't know what day or what hour, and you don't either, but I do believe we're in the season for something great to happen to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sing that second verse for me, buddy. You're singing pretty good tonight.
Oh, and I believe the time is nearing that will soon see His appearing. Oh, this could be the hour. Oh, this could be the day.
Sing it, church.
When the bride from every nation,
hallelujah,
she starts to lose gravitation.
Glory.
In the
Jesus. Where would we be today if we didn't believe in that?
Amen.
Amen. That's the hope of the church in this hour is the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I'm just glad I'm part of it. For those of you that haven't heard, I was supposed to have surgery yesterday. And I went to the hospital at 1 o'clock, went through all the procedure. And about 4:30, the doctor come into the place where I was already laying out with IVs in my arms and that pretty cap on your head, you know, that pretty thing they give you. And the doctor said the machine tore up, broke down on the last patient. So I'm here tonight. Now, I'm not sure if it was just the machine's fault or if somebody needed me here tonight. I don't know. I'm not real sure about that. There's one thing I'm certain of. The machine broke. Why it broke, I mean, you know, I'm not sure about that. But they're supposed to get it fixed, and they said they might get to me on Monday. But who knows, I might pass it before then anyway. So I figure while we're here, and since I wasn't sick or nothing, I thought maybe we should just have church. Maybe I should... Different people have been telling me from all different parts of the world. We've been getting emails and stuff, you know, just rest, just rest, just rest. I'm thinking, you don't know how this feels. Been studying this whole time and getting all these things from God, and you want me to rest? Just rest and don't say nothing? Come on now. How can a preacher just not say nothing? Amen. So we'll just pray and see how it goes. There's one thing for sure. I told somebody the other day, I want to come through this test in flying colors. I want to pass it. The test. Not just the stone, the test. I don't want the Lord at the end of this trial to look back at me and say, go back at the end of the line. You got to go through it again. Say, oh no, God, please. Amen. I want to come to it a victor. Amen. Not only this, but every trial I go through, don't you? Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16. I would like to look tonight, if the Lord would help us, on pride and will worship. Pride and will worship. 2 Chronicles 26, 16. Our setting tonight is King Uzziah, one of the greatest kings of Israel. Notice now. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord. So 81 men gather around this king, try to stop him. They were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king. Wow. I admire men like that. This is the greatest man in the nation as far as politically. But these people knew he was wrong. They withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Now let me read to you this meaning again of will worship. Will worship signifies simply a mode of worship which a man chooses for himself, independently of the revelation which God has given. The whole system of deism. Anybody know what deism actually is? Started in the 18th century. It is basically the worship of nature, which separates nature from a creator, which is a form of Darwinism, really, to where that it is everything that's in nature that you look and see. It came into existence on its own. and there was no God who made it, no correlation of deity, so they call it deism. The whole system of deism is a worship founded in the will or thoughts of man and not in the wisdom or will of God. Let's bow our heads together tonight. You may like to be remembered in prayer before the Lord. God bless you. May He grant your request. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful, Father, of the evening light. We are thankful, Lord, that we are partakers of this great dispensational truth that has been given to us in this evening time. We are thankful, Lord, even though we live in the darkest age that has ever been, our nation, our world, our people have never been in such chaos. But yet, in that time, you said, in the evening time, there shall be light. So the darkness is the greatest now that it's ever been, but the light is shining brighter than it's ever been. We pray, Father, that you would help us to always walk in the illumination of that light. So we endeavor to look into your word tonight, Father. I pray that you would help me. Help me to get out of the way. Help the people to be able to receive. May we be able to receive, Lord Jesus, in such an outpouring of your presence tonight that our needs would be met. We'd be quickened by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We know pride can be such a terrible, terrible thing. Absolutely devastating to great people, to preachers, to singers, to people in authority, to people in divine offices. When you bring pride and will worship together to where that person, many people get away from the Lord and they just totally renounce anything at all. I'm not going to fight against it. I'm not going to stand against it, but I'm just going to get away from it and leave it alone. Really, those people are better off than some of the ones who blast it and try to do all that sort of thing. I'd rather stand before God as that type of a person myself. But you think whenever people get their pride so inclined to the direction that they want to then dictate to God how God should receive their worship, the way they live, the way they do, and basically they are telling God what God should receive of them. This is what they're going to do. Most of them never start out that way. Even Satan himself didn't start out that way in the beginning. We know it was his pride that caused this great fall. And sin did not begin on the earth, but sin actually began in heaven. And it was when Satan got lifted up in his heart. For he said in his heart, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So that is actually the origination of sin. There in the heart of this created being, and remember God did not create sin, for sin is not a creation. But he allowed this being, which was a creature of time, to give birth as it was to this element of pride. Then from this heart of this fallen angel, pride would burst forth. From him would come every other human being that would be tainted by that pride. It would have its origination from that father, which is Satan, of course. Then whenever people become religious and they will allow this pride, which is satanic, to merge over into religion, you've really got a mess. Amen. Brother Ram tells us a religious devil is 7 times worse than any other kind of devil. Can you imagine now a religious devil being 7 times worse than a homosexual spirit? Worse than a harlot spirit? Worse than a drunk spirit or a drug addict spirit? Why? A drunk and a drug addict, you can be able maybe to convince them they have need of God. But a religious person thinks they've got all of God they need. Now, Uzziah, you know his background and his history. Of course, he was a boy. Let me start it this way, that he was a young man that was brought up in the right kind of home, in the right kind of parenting, the right kind of influence. His mother and father both were godly people. He had his descent from the great tribes of Israel. He had the law of Moses. They had the Levites, the teachers, the priests,
those people that was among them, and he had a godly father and mother which had taught him the proper way. His father dies, and Uzziah becomes king at the age of 16 years old. He became king at a very, very young age, which was not uncommon at that time. But what was very uncommon was that he would be able to be king and remain a dignity about him that would be holy toward the Lord. And he would be granted one of the longest kingships of any king that ever reigned in Israel for 52 years. Really, the crowning of any king in the time of Israel, one of his greatest signs of approval was if that man was able to reign for at least 40 years. That was quite a conquest. But here this man was actually allowed to go even 12 over the supreme authority that God would give those which were the most godly in Israel to reign. So by that we're able to see that God had really blessed this man in many ways. And he started out to be a great man. Started out to have real principle and morality about it. And he chummed around with another young man, of course, which was Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, Uzziah being a king. So they chummed around together, and Isaiah, of course, lived and hung around the great king and was able to be around the palace and all of that. And Uzziah started in this great earthly kingdom. My, what a great influence that he was. Now, he wasn't just great in the respect only of that he had a sincerity toward God, but he was granted an understanding of warfare. Now, God, of course, will bless men according to the position which they're called in. This man was not just to be a spiritual man, but he was to be a king, and he was able to build things for his people, which would make them very great in maintaining their capacity as far as their land. Now, he was unlike David in that David was given a very great position, but yet David never really had new inventions of warfare. Solomon was gifted in a total different way in that he was gifted in wisdom and understanding, but somehow the allocation of God to this man was that he was given the ability to build and understand machinery of war. He was given the ability to be able to equip his people for war. This was the time or the dispensation in which it was needed. But it's amazing that the man in the very area that he was marvelously blessed became the very thing that turned him away from the very spiritual part that he should have had. Now, in this to me lays a mystery of the life of many blessed people. That they are blessed by God spiritually. They are blessed by God with a position, and God will equip them for that position. And if they're not careful, the equipment for the position will turn and eat on the very spiritual thing that they have for God. Now, it may seem like a parallel to you or a paradox of a parallelism that God would do such a thing. But this is where that we as the people of God must divide and separate the spiritual part that we have from the natural ability and the natural equipment that God gives us to do what we're called to do. This is why even preachers sometimes can lose their walk with God and still preach up a storm, still study, still have depth and understanding, because they lose the spiritual part, but the equipment in their call and their office will allow them to go on and on and on for years, and they're in a great spiritual dilemma, and the people never know it until it's too far gone. And it's the same way with a mother, same way with a man that has a position out on doing something out here in the world. A mother can still cook the right meals. She can still feed her children, but the woman is broke down. She's absolutely had a nervous breakdown or a separation from motherhood. She's still acting out the part, but in her heart, she's severed from what God's called her to be, because she's feeling like that she can no longer handle it. In this sense, this man was doing many great things. And it was actually signs of accomplishment, seemingly. But there was something being severed from him by the equipment of what God had given him to do. Now, let's read this so you'll understand what I'm saying. And in chapter 26, verse 14, and Uzziah prepared for them. Now, notice this is for his people. For them throughout all the hosts, shields and spears and helmets and habergerons and bows and slings to cast stones. Now this is wonderful in the sense that this man is preparing for his people to be armed, and he's wanting to give them the very best equipment that he can give them to fight for their inheritance. Isn't that notable? That's wonderful. So he would not send them out unequipped to wear that. He would just give them old hose and mattocks and all that sort of thing and go out and put them up against an army that would be trained and very well equipped. So he wants to equip his people with what they have need of to be able to face the challenge of the hour. Now he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. Now notice, he's not just a spiritual man, but he is a man of ingenuity. And God gave him people of ingenuity and people of imagination and people of great perception. David did not have these men. Solomon did not have these men. Now, it had moved into a dispensation to where apparently they needed these type of men that were equipped. You understand that we in the message have changed dispensations somewhat. We're no longer just where we were 25, 30 years ago to where we're introducing the message and the focus is Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. But God has raised up men for the time that we're in. The men that are called in this hour, I appreciate it myself. And we can see that the direction that we're going, the direction that we're in, it's not the same direction that we were 25 or 30 years ago. And it takes the Spirit of God to help us to correlate with the gifted men that they will give us what we need. Right? So this man is doing a great job in that sense. But where he must be careful is that with the provision and the ingenuity and the design and the ability of cunning men around him, that he keeps the balance of that with the spiritual aspect, that he doesn't just become all natural side. Now, this is the thing with us as the message people, that we must be careful. We've got all of our doctrines down pat. We've got all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted, all the periods, the colons, the semicolon. But if we're not careful, we'll get to a spot to where we think we no longer need the Spirit of God in our lives or the Spirit of God in our services, because we've got all quotes, we've got everything down pat. But remember, friend, no matter how educated we become, how knowledgeable we become, we still need the Holy Ghost. We still need the Spirit of God to direct our lives. I don't just need it as a preacher, but you need it as a layperson, as a song leader, as a musician. We need it every day of our life to be led of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this man. My, he must have been a very cunning man and had cunning men around him. Now these cunning men were suited for the dispensation they were in. You put these cunning men around David, it would have been a misfit. It was not the time. They did not need these engines and habergons. They did not need many of these things that this man is moving into. Why? The dispensation had changed. Joshua did not need these type of men. But apparently they were needed at this time frame. But when you're dealing with more cunning men, there's always the danger of you leaning toward the intellectual side, because you can figure out how to do more things and make things work. Now you take simple people that don't have a lot of engines and don't have a lot of this and that and the other, they will become more dependent upon God because they know they can't do it anyhow. But people that are more cunning, that are wisdom, and they have the ability to do this and to do that, and through the power of their mind and mind, all that they can do, they tend to lean more on this. Don't get quiet on me already now. And if a man can be cunning and have wisdom and all that sort of thing, and still realize, hey, I need the Spirit of God really more than the man that maybe would call him an ignorant man, because I've got more occasion for the devil to get in the way and use my flesh. So he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones. Now here they are. It's a mechanized army. So they actually have engines that are shooting arrows. David never had such. David had men. David had Solomon that were shooting arrows. But now it's moved into a time to where that it is becoming more and more mechanical. So really, do they need the Spirit of God as much? Depends on how you look at it. If you look at it from here, no, they don't. But if you look at it from here, they need him more. Because this will tend to lead you to your own strengths. Come on now. Now remember, this man is gifted. He's called for this time. God did not put him in the days of David. He was not to take the throne after David, but he's put in this time. He's positionally placed for the exact age. The men around him, which is one thing I always like to look about any man that claims he's a gifted man. I like to see what God gives the man. Now, I'm not really interested in so much what he says he has, but I like to see what God gives the man, what God commits to the man's care, and the kind of people that God puts around the man. Now, if the man has to go around and play politics and to be able to get people to follow him, I ain't got no confidence in that man's leadership. Because if he's a real man of God, God will put people around him, amen, that will be complementary to his own vision, his own call, and his own gift. But if he has to play politics, and he has to talk to this one and talk to that one, well, tell your brother, and you know, ask so-and-so if they'll come and work with me. And you know what? You ought to look right there and say, there's something wrong with this man. Because if he's a man of God, God will put people around him. Come on now. This is God's trust in this man. If God don't trust a man, I don't trust him. Praise the Lord. I ain't talking about how many Cadillacs God gives him. I ain't talking about how much money God gives him. I'm talking about what God gives him from his heart. The wisdom God gives him. The favor with God's people. If God don't give a man favor of his own people, to me that's a warning sign. If God don't give a man of God a favor in the eyes of these people, then I watch that and say, uh-oh. If God don't want him having favor among my people, I don't want him having favor among my people. Many men have caused splits in their own churches because of their ignorance. By giving people favor among them, that church, that God would have never done it.
Well, praise the Lord.
Well, I'm not sure who that was for, but there you go anyway. Now watch this. So they are inventing now. It's a great time of mechanization in Israel. They invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones. Now you'll not find David doing this. David never used such mechanization. They never fought with stones. I mean, you know, the ones David fought with, he packed around in his little shepherd's bag. But now they've moved into a different dispensation. So now they're throwing big stones. David's little stone wouldn't work. You understand, friend? This was not the time. May God help us that as the war advances, we'll be able to move with it. Now, in doing that, it does not mean that we're out of the will of God, because they advance from throwing five little small smooth stones up to a dispensation of great large stones. Why? Why would they need this? Because now they're fighting kings in castles. Remember, God only tore down the walls of one city. The rest of them cities had to be tore down by the people anointed by the Spirit of God. The book of Joshua is totally different than the book of Exodus. God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. But are we sure we understand what that means? Did God do the same things with Joshua that he did with Moses? Absolutely not. Did Joshua ever roll back the Red Sea? Did Joshua ever go up to the mountain and get the law of God? But God said, I'll be with you like I was with him. And God come in and drove out the hornets of the city in a couple of places. And God let the walls of Jericho fall down flat. But from that time on, it was the super anointing the natural. So it was supernatural. Glory! When God first pulled him into the land of Canaan, it was supernatural. Then it moved into the dispensation of his super on their natural. Amen. Don't you understand that's where we are right now? He's not going to knock all of our walls down. He's not going to drive all of our enemies out with hornets. But he will come by super and anoint your natural. Amen. He will give us the ability to withstand against our enemy, to live a godly life. He won't mark all the walls around and knock them all flat. Why? That's not the dispensation we're in. My. Notice now, his name spread far abroad. Now we come to the dangerous time. Not many people can handle fame. Why do rock and roll stars go nuts and Hollywood stars and all this sort of people just ain't handled. They're not made to handle that kind of thing. No man is made up to be made a god and keep his sanity. These movie star women ain't made up to be goddesses and all that sort of thing and keep their sanity. They just can't keep it. There's only one person that's made up to be worshipped and be able to hold his sanity, and that's God. All the rest of folks that are worshipped go nuts. Come on, you might as well say amen. Whether it's a football quarterback or a basketball, whatever more, a soccer, whatever more, man is not made by God to be worshipped, to be raised to a place of deity and be able to hold his sanity. So because of this, now notice his fame is not because he's a praying man. His fame is not because just alone that he's a godly man. But he is renowned and known because he has such a wit about him. And these inventions, and you imagine whenever the Philistines and the other people, my, they start to say, oh goodness, this guy, wow, I mean, what a man. He was called to defend the people of God with these very things, and Satan is going to take that very avenue and turn it right around on him. The gift of God is now going to bring him fame. Wow. Now watch. His name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He was marvelously helped. And this is not self-attainment now. This is not something. He was marvelous. Notice the scripture, the writer of Chronicles, how that he says this. He was marvelously helped. This was not all human. He was marvelously helped. You know how you're living right in this day? You're marvelously helped. Don't you take credit for you being a saint. Don't you take credit for you being an overcomer. You're marvelously helped. If you're a great mom, a great dad, a great preacher, a great this, that, and the other, don't you take credit for that. You have been marvelously helped to live this kind of life. Now what's the direction now that this king is going? For he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Brother Branham uses Uzziah a lot from the Message Influence. He first preaches it, of course, in Jeffersonville, 1962, and then in Phoenix and several other places thereafter. We'd like to make several references to things he said tonight. Now, we see Uzziah here. He was a great man. We find out because that he took those terrific stands that he did. You know, his kingdom was next to Solomon. He spread out even the countries round about him, loved him, and they paid tribute to his kingdom. And we find that even way down in Egypt, his influence was felt. Now this is quite a man, isn't it? And I think that's kind of a home. Now watch me talking about the home he was raised up in. That Uzziah must have been raised in because of the influence of his godly parents. And as soon as he became king, he ignored all pauper opinions and all political differences. Wish we had a president like that. Wish we had congressmen like that, senators like that, mayors, sheriffs. We will one day when we take over. Praise God. When I'm in charge of Johnson City, it'll be run right. Amen. Come on. When the sons of God get this earth, she'll be right back where she's supposed to be. Amen. He set his mind for one thing. He would serve God regardless. Oh, children, what a life. What something to be said about you. We need some more politicians like that. He was determined that he was going to serve God because that's the way he was raised. His father gave him the right influence that he could serve God and live. Now, somewhere in time, the Bible doesn't exactly tell us what year it was, but somewhere in this time after he got strong, was it 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, I'm not sure. But notice in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Now notice the very elements that are leading up to this pivotal point in his life are the gifted areas of his life that God has given him. So he has this understanding of machines, and they're able to design all this thing for warfare, and then he has these cunning men that are around him, and here he's leading one step into another, and he's getting stronger and stronger in the very thing that he should have took the way of humility and realized, Lord God, I'm nothing. You've given me this understanding to help your people with. But instead, he become like a lot of preachers who are gifted with understanding of this and that and the other. And they begin to look at themselves and raise themselves above their brothers and think, I'm the only one preaching this. I'm the only one seeing this. If people's going to get this, they got to come to us. They're on the way out right then. Well, praise the Lord, saints. Now watch, when he was strong, his heart. Uh-oh. Where was it Satan had said? How could this king move from godly teaching over to the influence of satanic inspiration? So now his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Lord Jesus. Now he become great, powerful, strong for his victories, his achievements. Imagine as he'd walk out of the castle. You look on the towers on the west side, the towers of the walls on the east side, the north side, the south side. There was engines. There was armament like no other place had. There was bulwarks. There was machines that would shoot 10 arrows or 20 arrows or 100 arrows at a time and would kill men right and left. Machines that would throw great stones down off the walls of Jerusalem. And they would step out there and look and think, wow, even David couldn't do this. Even Solomon couldn't do this. More than likely it didn't happen just all on one day. But maybe a little at a time, the arrogance and the pride of flesh begin to build a little more and a little more. And this is something that a preacher or a great man, a man of this type of a guy here, would have to be so careful is that those cunning men that are put around you that are so wise, that have such ability to do such things, you have to be careful what they tell you. Because if you're not careful, they'll go to flattering your flesh. Oh, great king, there's nobody. I'm down in Egypt, nobody, no matter where they are in Persia, there is nobody with what you've got. You gotta be careful. You see, preachers that never strike that in their church, they're allowing that spirit to grow. You watch any preacher that will not strike that thing when he knows it's in his assembly, the reason of it is because he likes it. And that thing will lead to his destruction and the church as well. There's no church in this message that is exempt from it. But the bigger the church, the greater the ministry, the more powerful the delivery, to me, the more the man ought to strike it. Because it is a potential for this very thing to set up right in the middle of them. Lord Jesus. There's no army like his. And the human part now begins to look around and think, wow, look what I've done. Man, I've built my business. I'll tell you one thing. This ain't just so for preachers. It's so for you folks. I'm the most accomplished musician in the message. That means you ought to be on your face every day. I'll tell you, I'm the most gifted preacher that there is in the nation. We get more hits on our website. You ought to pray more than the man who don't have no website. Praise the Lord. Oh my. He grew vain and proud. Notice this did not come, as I said, maybe just walk out one day at 10 o'clock and say, bam! But he grew. How do we go in God? We grow in God. You see, a fast acceleration toward wickedness to most people would absolutely scare them to death. For them to stand here as a Christian and to move and take this step from a Christian to being a drunk in one day? No way. For them to change from being in church consecrated in the presence of God to becoming a prostitute by 9 o'clock tonight? No way.
So they grow. They grow into sin. His pride, his arrogance, his vanity begin to brawl. Maybe every new machine, every new design, every new cunning work that they would make added a little bit more to his adornment of selfishness. Lord Jesus. Apparently he began to depend more upon his wisdom and his strength and the great men around him and the machinery of the message. Hey friends, this man is right in the will of God now up to this place. This man is right in the will of God. My, wouldn't it have been something if Brother Branham would have been able to have the internet in his day? Wouldn't it have been something if it would have been able to have smartphones and all that sort of thing? You know what? It was not apparently for his time, but we have it now. So what are we going to do with it? It can be a tool to help you or one to damn you. Whoa, praise the Lord. You see, when men are prospered and blessed, unless they are kept little in their own eyes by the grace of God, it will be their demise. That's right. Notice this, the Bible says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. Now listen what he done. Went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now remember the Canaanite kings that were around them. Most of the Canaanite kings were king priests. They were both king and high priest of their religion. So you got several elements working on Uzziah. The worldly environment around him. Now, does he need these things? No doubt many of them he did need to protect him. No doubt he was working exactly in the scope of what God had called him until he shifted from that being the purpose and the call till he began to take an element of pride in what God had gifted him to do. I've never understood to save my life why a preacher can be proud of a sermon he preaches when he wasn't the one who got it. I've been preaching most of my life, 39 years, I guess, something like that. And I've never, never walked off of a platform. I've preached to 10 and 15 and hundreds and thousands at a time. And I've never walked off of a sermon yet and felt like I accomplished something. And felt like I had something to be proud about. The thought wasn't mine. The inspiration wasn't mine. The anointing wasn't mine. The deliverance wasn't mine. I hope to God I always stay that way. Cause I feel sorry for me and for you if I ever feel like I did something. My. So once pride is elevated, now it connects with will worship. He's conquered many aspects of science. Many aspects of war. Quite an achievement, no doubt, in fighting war when man first invented a bow. That was one man with one piece of wood with a string with arrows. And he'd pull it back and fire it, pull it back. That was for centuries. Hundreds and hundreds of years the advancement never moved beyond it. But in this man's dispensation, there was an allotment of understanding that was granted to men. What was it granted for? Pride? Protection. You understand that in our day, God has allotted us mysteries and understanding greater than any dispensation that's ever been. What's it for? To blow up our heads? What's it for? To make us proud and arrogant and look down our noses at other people? That's what many folks have done with it. And you and I might as well say amen because we've been there and done the same thing.
But thank God by His grace, I hope we're beginning to realize that's not what God gave us this armament for. Okay, we're able to pull back our arrows and shoot 1,000 at a time, as it were. We're able to throw boulders and stone that could not be thrown in the days of Paul. That could not be thrown in the days of Pentecost. That could not be thrown, oh hallelujah, in the days of Wesley. But what's it given for? Our defense. Not for our pride. But if we're not careful, we'll do the very same thing Uzziah did. The very equipment that God's given us. We'll turn it to the vanity and flesh and pride and arrogance. Instead of your sisters looking down on the woman that you rub shoulders with, Bob Perrin painted lips, you'll look down on her with religious disdain and say, you slut. You whore. Not a reason you ain't a whore because of God's grace. Only reason us brothers ain't drunks and cigarette suckers and everything else, God's grace. We ain't got nothing to brag about on ourselves. But Brother Donnie, I'm predestinated. Even if you are, you ain't got nothing to brag about since you didn't give yourself the predestinated seed. Election is a gift. Ordination is a gift. Predestinated seed is a gift. Now watch this. The king now wants to move into the final phase. He's conquered gravity. He's conquered many different things. But there's one thing yet. He's not. He wants to be high priest. King ain't enough. It's amazing how people are tempted to be what they're not qualified to be. It amazes me how people always want to be what they're not supposed to be. And what they're supposed to be, they don't want to be. What is it with us? What is it with us that we always want to be something that we're not supposed to be, and what we're supposed to be, I don't want to be that. Now, Josephus says it this way. At the moment the king lifted the censer, he struck him with leprosy. Now, Amos chapter 1, verse 1 mentions an earthquake. Let's read this, if you would. The words of Amos, which was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Now, when King Uzziah goes into the temple to offer incense in the position of the high priest, when he raises the censer up before the presence of God, the historians say that's the very moment that the earthquake shook. And here they are shaking. You imagine. God so gave his disapproval that it thundered in the earth. Lord Jesus. Watch. Brother M said the king got to a place that he thought within himself. He got lifted up. Pride got in his heart. Isn't that amazing? You mean it wasn't already there? It got in his heart. And that's what happens to us. That's what happened, he said, to the Methodists. What happened to the Baptists. That's what happened to the Nazarene, to the Pilgrim Holiness, to the Pentecostal. Watch him. Church age after church age after church age. Don't think in your mind that we're exempt from it. Don't you understand? We are the next in succession. As far as moves, we are the, oh Lord, have mercy, children. We are the next in succession of what it will come. But praise God, there'll be some around this message, it will not strike them. Notice now how he describes it. Baptist, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, Pentecostal, lifted up, self-willed, self-centered, pride that you can't tell nothing to. How many people around this message, you can tell them nothing? There are people who come to this church. I can't tell you one thing unless you agree with it. And if you agree with it, then I'm right on the line. But if you don't agree with it, then I'm way out in left field somewhere. and yet I'm supposed to be your pastor, your shepherd. Don't you understand? That thing is already around us. I'm not saying something's going to come. It's here. People get to a place you can't tell them nothing. Why don't people go to church? They don't think they need to. Why do they sit home and listen to tapes? Why do they do all these sort of things? They don't think they need to. They're lifted up in their heart. They're above going to church. They're above preachers. The days of Uzziah is among us, friends. Lord Jesus. Self-will, self-centered pride, you couldn't tell nothing to. God can't find a way to get into their hearts. Do you understand? You can have long hair and have this, and God can't get to you. Brothers, you can look the part of holiness. We can act the part. We can say all the message cliche. But if we've got this attitude, Almighty God cannot get to our hearts. Because we're know-it-all. We're puffed up, self-centered, self-will. Nobody can tell me nothing. Oh, God, keep that devil away from me. You realize Satan can cut us off from the presence of God by developing one attitude. You may be holiness on the outside, but you got a know-it-all thing totally cuts you off from God. I want you to listen to this next paragraph. So many today, you take a family of people that'll start going to church. God will heal that little family. He'll bless them. Give them the Holy Spirit in their lives. The little children will pray around the table. They'll pray before they go to bed. Mother and father join hands and pray. As long as they continue like that, they'll stay a family. But you let them, the first thing you know, they didn't have nothing. No junk car. Maybe riding around in it, maybe walking. Finally, they'll get a good car. A better home. First thing you know, they want to get what the world calls a better class to associate with. Now remember, the Bible tells us the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So if your riches bring sorrow, you better trade it in. Because it ain't the blessing of the Lord. Oh, I know some of y'all think you're so blessed you can't come to church. You're so blessed you ain't got time with your family. You're so blessed you can't do this. You better get rid of that blessing. Come on now. Oh my, I didn't figure you'd give me much of a hand clap. But that's all right. I'm going to tell you the truth anyway. Now watch what happens with these people. They're doing exactly the pattern of Uzziah. They come to God. God straightens up their lives. He gets their whoredoms all fixed up. They get rid of their televisions. They get their lives consecrated before God. And the Holy Ghost comes in their home. And God goes to bless them. They get a bigger car. They get a nicer home. And then the next thing they look around and say, you know what? We ought to associate with a better class of people. I didn't know of a better class than the elect. There is no better class than God's children. Lord Jesus. The first thing you know, when they get what they want to, the world calls a better class to associate with, they move into a different neighborhood and they find out they become influenced by the wrong influence. I love this. Listen to this. You must always stay where the kingdom of God is and where the glory of the Lord is pouring out. Amen. Praise be to God. You must always stay where the kingdom of God is. You mean the kingdom of God ain't everywhere? Apparently it ain't. Well, it'll come to me. That's contrary to the message. The message is you're supposed to stay where it's at. Praise be to God. You must always stay where the kingdom of God is and where the glory of God is pouring out. Listen to this, church. Stay where you can be spiritually fed day and night. Not once a week, not three times a week, but stay where you can be fed spiritually day and night. Oh my. Amen. It may make it hard on you financially. You might make more money in this city or that city. But I'll tell you what's more important than anything in this world. Stay where the kingdom is. Stay where the presence of God is. Stay where you can be fed. Stay where you can be under a ministry that'll cast devils away from you when you're bound. Oh, hallelujah. Stay where the presence of God is near your heart. But what tends to happen is, not always, but with the majority of people, they make more money, they get more this, they get more that. Money tends to make folks starchy. Have you ever seen a millionaire tongue talker? I'm just asking you a question. Have you ever seen a millionaire that just, under the power of the Holy Ghost, talk in tongues, dance in the Spirit, get drunk on the Holy Ghost? Have you ever seen any penny heirs that thought they were millionaires do the same thing? No. Why? Most of them would look down their nose at that. Oh, I go over to Happy Valley, but I don't act like the guy up on the platform. And certain other ones there in the church. I always sit on the Baptist side of the church there myself. And, didn't I pass up there Saturday night and sing Your Car out there? Well, I go up there, but I sure don't go along with everything they do. But my grandchildren go there, so I go and, you yellow-bellied cow. You oughtn't to be ashamed of a pastor that talks in tongues. You oughtn't to be ashamed of a pastor that still casts out devils. You oughtn't to be ashamed of a pastor that preaches the word and preaches heaven so straight and hell so hot that you can feel the flames licking up around your legs. Amen! You oughtn't to be ashamed to come to a church where Acts chapter 2 is still in effect, where Holy Ghost children are still born and the power of God still. Well, all the message folks have got finer cars and finer homes. They want finer churches and finer preachers. Just keep refining, refining, refining until they'll have it done what they want. But that way they can invite somebody they work with to come to their church. They won't be embarrassed. They never have to worry about the pastor making a fool out of himself. They never have to worry about him blasting nobody or preaching against nobody. Of course, you know I'm not talking about here. Brother Donnie, sometimes I wish you had more wisdom. What you call wisdom, I call foolishness. What you call wisdom is not preaching against sin. And if I see somebody here that's guilty, I don't do it. Can you imagine old John the Baptist that day said, John, don't you preach on marriage and divorce because Herod's coming to church. John jumped up right in front and said, it's not lawful for you to take your brother's wife. That's my family tree. Glory, I said, that's my family tree. But what happens, friends? Pride, possessions, money, things. Do a lot of rich folks think they need to dance in the Spirit no more? No, they don't think they need to. Why? They feel full and secure and satisfied with what they own. Well, praise the Lord. This was for somebody tonight because it ain't even in my notes. I mean... Did somebody call me out of my surgery? I mean, my Lord. I've heard of people ground in an airplane but call you out of surgery. Dear God. Turn down a multi-thousands of dollars a machine because you needed it whooping tonight. Notice it says you must always stay where the kingdom of God is and where the glory of God is pouring out. Stay where you can be spiritually fed day and night. Then the first thing you know, separation's come in the home. Worldliness. They get lifted up. Uzziah did that. He got lifted up. Much pride. How many people moved to this church from here and there and there and there to come to church? And how many of them same people now want to come on Sunday morning? They left a good job, they left family, they left this and that and the other to come to church. Don't you understand? That very thing will condemn you. Your own testimony. That's why I moved to Johnson City, was to come to church. And now you're elevated, aren't you? You're elevated in your pride and your arrogance, and you think you don't need to come three times a week like the rest of us lower class. My Bible tells me, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That much more as you see the day approaching. It ain't a time to quit going to church. It ain't a time to go to church less. But what's happening? We've got our engines. Our search engines, our Googles, our Yahoos, our engines. We've got our bulwarks. We've got all of our quotes and our quote book and our dataware and our software. We've got all the message stuff now. We're shooting arrows like crazy. Man, we know how to fight this thing. And if we're not careful. I told Carol the other day, isn't it amazing? The very thing that has transformed the way preachers around this message preach. The message being available on a message software, which this church by God's grace helped do. The very thing that transformed my preaching and the preaching of brothers around the world, now those who's turning against it is using that same tool to look for mistakes. Using the very same tool to look for things that they think don't run in consistency. Don't you understand? A bulwark, an engine, a machine. It can be used to protect you. It can be used to help you. Oh, but the wrong mentality. It can be used as a very great onslaught. How many of those are taking and in their search, they're not gifted, they're not preachers. So when they search, they'll pull out this quote and that one and that one. And they leave out key quotes which will explain what they're trying to say. And either they don't want to say it or they're not gifted to do it. Don't you understand the danger of laity trying to enter into a spot that they're not called to do? But can you stop them? No! Why? Pride and will worship. Lord Jesus. Notice this, Brother Branham says, as long as he remained king, he was a blessing to the people, being a king. But when he thought he was a minister, he thought because God had blessed him, he could be anything he wanted to be. You imagine that? And he didn't even have all the self-help books that we got today. I know, friends, you laugh at me when I say this, but I want you to look at it. Do you understand where all this self-help stuff is coming from? I believe we ought to help ourselves too. But let me tell you something. A bunch of this stuff that's being fed is straight from the pits of hell. That you can be anything you want to be. You can be this. You can be that. I don't want to be what I want to be. I want to be what God wants me to be. You can be a millionaire. You can be this. I'm not sure God can trust me to be a millionaire. I want to be what God wants me to be. A bunch of this self-help stuff is nothing but the devil. And it goes contrary to the word of God. You cannot feed your stuff all this self-help, self-help, self-help. And then come and sit under a minister that said, deny yourself. Because it won't make no sense to what you're feeding. You're feeding yourself. I can be this. I can be that. I can be something else. And then you come to church and some little spindly two before preacher said, die to yourself. Die to your idea. Lay aside your pride. You're going to sit there confused because your diet is, I can be this. I can be that. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be what he wants me to be. I want to be exactly that. Nothing less, nothing more. Brother Donnie, don't you read self-help books? I do. This is a self-help book for predestinated seed. Because you realize you can't help yourself. That's what this book tells me. It tells me I was lost. It tells me I was wretched. It tells me I was miserable and I couldn't help myself. Friends, look at where we are. If this is not a perfect description of the age we're living in, because he thought because God had blessed him, he could be anything he wanted to be. That's where people are today. They can do what they want. They can be anything they want to be because they love God. And God loves them so much in their thinking, he will let them. So if they want to bob their hair, paint their face, do this, that, the other, that's okay. In their view, God will let them do that because he loves them so much. What is it? Pride and will worship. Lord Jesus. Notice this. He thought because God had blessed him, he could be anything he wanted to be. He was a blessing to the people as a king. But he became a curse upon them when he tried to take a minister's place. Let us close with this simple thought, and you take that, make it applicable to your life. Sisters, you can be a blessing to this church, to the family of God, to your family, as long as you remain in the position God's called you. Brothers, trustees, deacons, song leaders, musicians, preachers, pastors, associate ministers. If each of us will stay in the place that God's made us, we can be a blessing. But when we get to thinking, I need to do more. Watch it. There's something driving me. Just because there's something driving you don't mean it's the Holy Ghost. It's so pitiful that a person could be such a blessing being this, but they want to be this. So when they move from being this little finger to being this, or being the arm, or being the shoulders, or being the head, then they become a curse to themselves and to others. Let's bow our heads together. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, that you would help us. It's so sad when we see the time that we're living, Lord, and we see so many people that we have known that are falling into such a state. Help us, Lord Jesus, that will keep this pride away from us. It's inevitable. Lord, we know that the message, as far as the message move, it's done there. It cannot be stopped. It will go in the same cycle of the generations that have been before us. The embers of coals will die down. The burning fire of revival will cease. And it will become just a move. That's all. We know your prophet tells us in 1963 that you sent a man on the earth about another generation after he's gone. They make a tradition out of his life. Polish his tomb. That's exactly where we see that so many message folks are. They've made a tradition out of Brother Branham's life. But we don't want to do that, Lord. We want to acknowledge him. We want to give credit where credit is due. But we want your life, not Brother Branham's life. We don't want this to be a tradition. We want this message to be a reality in our hearts.
Lord Jesus, I'm sure many of these can say themselves that they have had an element of pride sticking their nose up in the air because we're privileged and blessed, seeing and knowing and understanding things that the populace of the earth will never even consider. Secrets which you've whispered to us, Lord. Forgive us for taking pride in that which did not originate from us. Forgive our sisters for looking down their nose at others that don't see what they see. Forgive us as preachers, as men, as brothers. How can we take pride and arrogance in that which come from you, not from us? Help us ministers here at the church, Lord. Keep us little. Keep us small. Keep us where you can use us. The prophet told us in 1959 that God has a hard time finding a man that he can use. But he said when God goes to using a man, he wants to become an angel or a god to the people. But he said if God can find a man that he can put his hands on and use him, and the more he uses him, the littler he gets. And the more he uses him, the littler he gets. Lord, that's what we want, Father. We submit ourselves to you. If there's something you can do, we certainly will allow you. Let us be the human instrumentality. But Lord, help us not, the more you use us, to get bigger in our eyes and blow ourselves up. But the more you use us, may we be little. May we always be little in our own eyes. Here we are shooting arrows by the multitudes. Here we are slaying enemies. We've got the bulwarks. We've got the things on our towers. Oh God, help us. Help us that we'll not get lifted up in our pride, our strength. This message was given to us not to make us smart alecks, but given to us to live by, to protect us, to ward off the enemies. Grant it, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name.
I want what you want for me, dear Lord.
Stand.
Whatever, wherever it may be. Yes, Lord God. I know that you know what's best.
With all your heart, just sing it.
I want what you want, me, dear Lord.
If he wants you to be little and significant, where nobody hardly ever knows your name, can you be happy with that? Can you be happy with being a doormat in the house of God?
Yes, Lord. What's best, my Lord? I want what you want for me. Lord, I want what you want for me. The cold. Times may bring me sunny days on close or distant shore, but I want what you want for me, dear Lord.
whatever, Lord, and wherever. I know this one thing. You know, Lord, my maker. You know what I can handle. You know what I can take, Lord God. So I want what you want for me. Oh, I want what you want. Listen to this verse now. I'm happy now that I am learning yielding to your plan. Are you? Praise God. What if he looks at you? And maybe in your life you think, I'd like to have more money. I'd like to be more wealthy. I'd like to do this or that. What if God's will would be for you to remain that little family? That you'd pray and read your Bible. And maybe you might have to struggle with certain things financially. You may never drive some of the best vehicles of the people in the church and be this and that. But yet if that was really his will for you, and it would keep you closer to the cross, wouldn't you be better off to have that? How many can we think about that have said in this church that got involved in making this kind of money and that kind of money and this business and that business don't even come to church no more? Now their wives look like Jezebels. Oh, they've got more money. They got nice homes and fine cars and this, that, and other. But really, when were they the better off? Living in a single wide trailer? Struggling to pay their bills? At least they's coming to the house of God. Well, the glory was being poured out. Which are the better, hey? God help us. God help us that would never choose riches in the place of Jesus. God help us that would never replace association with the saints of God to live in a nice neighborhood where you've got to be uppity up and so. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather live on the side of the road if I had to crack corn on the side of a railroad track. Amen. And to be in the presence of God and find favor with Him. Amen. You love Him with all your heart? Brother Branham made this comment. It's not word for word, but he said Solomon prayed one of the wisest prayers of the Bible. And he said that Solomon said it something like this. I pray, Lord, that you'd grant me enough. Grant me enough stuff around me, the things that I'd need. So I wouldn't beg, but not give me so much that I'd hate you. That I'd turn against you. That's a wise prayer. Now, so much is not just all the time the thickness of your wallet. Sometimes it can be up here. I want to be balanced, don't you, in all things. I want to have enough in my wallet to take care of my bills and take care of things. I want to have enough up here to keep me where I need to be, to study and show myself approved, but not a know-it-all and a smart aleck. Amen. Praise be to God. Can anybody say amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Once again, we entered into the surgery room. The great physician come in, took the surgical apparatus, opened up our hearts, our lives, removed parts that was offending us, removed parts that was setting us back. It may take us a little time to recover from it, but once we recover, we'll be better people. Lord Jesus, we love you for your word. I thank you, Father. Keep us right in the middle of your will, Lord. Bring us back in the morning, Father, if it be pleasing to you. I love you so much, Lord. I want to just thank you publicly, dear God. 6 weeks tomorrow that I've been dealing with this kidney stone. And yet, Lord, for them 6 weeks, I've not had but probably 6-7 hours of real excruciating bent over pain. I'm grateful for that. I don't think I could have lived with that kind of pain for 6 weeks that had done been had a funeral for me. So I thank you, Lord. Even in our trials, we can see the bright side. Lord, I pray for those tonight that are sick, those that may be going through something. May you encourage them. Maybe you strengthen them. May you heal them tonight, Lord. We love you, Father. We count it such an honor to be under the spout where the glory's coming out. May our hearts always be true and humble. Grant it, dear God, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Well, there is going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. That singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, told me glorious I do declare. Where God's own Son will be that leading one at that meeting. Yeah, let's sing it now. Well, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet vine. I'm going to meet you, my children over there. Yeah, Lord. Glory to God. Twill be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be that leading one. That meeting in the air. Well, you've heard the story being told, dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale we often sing. Thank you, Lord. I would like to meet them all, I do declare. For by and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you happy.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. I said down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. Glory to God, what a day. Ain't a gonna study. Oh, no. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. 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 I'm gonna tie on my long white robe down by the riverside. Sorry for my Baptist ways, friends. If I'd been raised Pentecostal, I might have got more loose. God bless you, children. We'll be meeting for worship again in the morning, Lord willing. But don't come planning on will worship. We want to worship by His will. He'll be in hell where He belongs. Be in hell.